The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Martin Beans Ward, stand-up comic, writer and podcaster. You're very welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Brendan.
Well, I'm delighted to have you. And Martin, we've a lot to talk about, but let's start with your play. So it's going to be in the Dublin Theatre Festival and it's called the Mincare Manifesto. And tell me what it's about.
Oh, okay, so it's going to be for the Dublin Theatre Festival, but it's going to be live-streamed from the Town Hall Theatre in Galway. And it's called the Mincare Manifesto. It's a working title and it's a work in progress in that I get to try out my script, try out my play without having a live audience in front of me. And I get to find out if it's crap or if it's any good, you know. So I get to iron out the kinks, basically.
Okay. Mincare Manifesto suggests that it's going to be quite political.
Well, that was the original intention when I started writing. But it's not, actually. It's more to do with... So it's centred around the Dead House. And it's a quintessential Irish thing, you know, the Dead House, when somebody dies in Ireland. Within my community, it's almost on another level. There's so much respect for the dead. But I play a character who returns home to the family on the day of his grandfather's funeral, having been in self-exile for 10 years. He didn't find a way to connect with his family. He left for the big city to become a writer. And of course, because of the funeral, he's forced to come back home. And now he's hearing all these stories about his grandfather and it almost reconnects him.
Okay. And now you just... To be clear for people, you mentioned your community and your community is... Would you refer to it as the Mincare community, the traveller community?
Well, fair play, Brendan. It only took you 2.5 minutes to bring in the fact that I'm a traveller.
I think we're
on a deadline today.
You see, I don't think that's entirely fair because
I forgot you're a comedian. Is it going to be a hashtag about Beans Ward after this? Have I offended you now? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Look, the word Mincare, it comes from the language of Cant or Shelta and it basically means traveller.
You're a traveller?
Oh, I know. Okay. I'm dressed up like a settled person. So, yeah, you'll be forgiven for thinking that I'm not. And I have a settled person's voice on at the moment because, you know, I'm an RTE guy. But it's Mincare is, it's actually a word that I only became familiar with myself in the last maybe 5 to 10 years. It's a more academic term. So I'm a traveller. So basically, the Mincare Manifesto is about me trying to reconnect as a traveller.
Did you disconnect from your own community?
I think we all disconnect from our family, if you think about it. You mean in a grander scale, we all do at some point become our own person. I suppose for me, the route I took, you know, with university or with comedy, I mean, they're all pretty big things, or kind of new and innovative things, especially comedy. I more or less did take... that route where I went my own direction. And I suppose in the last few years, ever since my granny died, actually, I started to look at my community in a different way. I'm 36 now and I am the typical 36-year-old that thinks they know everything, when in actual fact I know nothing. And I grew up with this sense of pride around our elders. We had no choice about it. They got the last word and we took their advice. We had no choice about that either. But ever since my granny died, I have this sense that we've lost something within the family. We've lost the last remaining voice that was attached to the past. And with that, we've lost so many stories and so many opportunities to learn more about the truth of what it was like in the past.
So do you feel that for her generation, was it a very different life being a traveller in her generation than
absolutely.
It is now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, look, and I don't mind saying this, a lot of travellers today, we complain about, you know, the obvious stuff like discrimination and prejudice. But back then, they grew up in tents by the side of the road. You know, the infant mortality rates were sky high. Like, they really, really, they survived. They didn't live, they survived. And much like a lot of people in Irish society, actually, that's a great connector. Irish society going back before the 60s, before the European money or the international money and things like that, people were poor. People were, like, places were destitute. Travellers are no different. And I suppose in learning more about what my elders went through, I learned more that even though I don't have certain opportunities because of my name and my background, I have a lot more privileges than my elders would have had.
So life has gotten much better.
Oh, I mean, across the board for everybody. Life gets better anyway. Society gets better. Yeah. And Irish Travellers and our community is just a microcosm of Irish society.
Yeah.
So as Irish society moves forward, so too does my community. However, when you have marginalised groups or groups kind of drenched within tradition, they tend to hold on to a lot of the traditions a little bit longer.
Okay. Are you neutral about that, or do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? Or
about which?
About the holding on to tradition a little bit longer. Are you saying it's held back the progress of the community in a way, or are you saying it's a good thing that they stay connected to the past?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with tradition.
Yeah.
The issues around tradition is traditional values or traditional activities should never supersede people's right to happiness, rights to education or things like that. And there's a great myth actually around travellers that a lot of our traditions are restrictive in certain ways. Now, certain things are.
Yeah.
There would be certain old traditions, but they're moving with the times also.
Example.
Living in Catholic Ireland.
Yeah. Restrictions in. Like, we lived in a very restrictive society too. But give me a for example in your community.
Well, education, the main one, education. Yeah. One of the things that kept travellers, and still in some respect keeps travellers from continuing on to third level or pursuing further education, is the fact that when they finish education, there's the very big reality that not many employers will employ you, regardless of your education or experience. And that's actually compounded. That whole idea is not anecdotal. That's based on a recent survey in 2017 when 1,001 people were interviewed. 87% of people said they wouldn't hire a traveller, regardless of education.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So 13% of people would.
But that's something from, that's a discrimination you're experiencing from outside the community. I was more specifically asking you were saying about tradition.
Oh, that's not interesting enough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But tradition within your community.
Education
that
is what
changed.
I'm saying to you.
But are you saying that the attitude to education in your community has changed for the better?
Yeah, changed. Of course it has. It's changed massively. And look, I'm studying, at the moment, I'm doing a master's in journalism in the University of Limerick. And I would have been able to afford that had they not reached out and given me a bursary. So the UL Foundation have helped me to do that. There are people out there within the education system that want travellers to do well. And the reason why, if you look at media, there are very few, there's no other travellers in Irish media. So by just focusing on the media, we're getting, and to no fault of any journalists, we're getting a skewered perception. So it'll always be from the perception or the perspective of a non-traveller writing about travellers. When you start to open up the door within the media, you start to get different stories. In actual fact, you might start to find that some of the stories that would have been held back by gatekeepers like organisations and things like that suddenly come to the fore. Like, for example, when we talk about feminism within the travelling community, it always takes a back seat because that's just the nature of exclusionary policies and politics. Right now, at this present time, the vast majority of travellers in third level education are women. The vast majority of activists and human rights activists from the community are women. There are points that we need to show as well.
There might be a sense that people, and again, this could be a stereotype, but there might be a sense among people that the women in the travelling community have traditionally been a bit more progressive than the men. Would you say that?
In what sense? Have they been more progressive in being like proactive? We've got a lot of traveller men that are activists also.
I understand.
I don't think it totally comes down to gender, but I will say this, that as a gay traveller, I know for a fact that the majority of support that I would get would be from not just traveller women, but actual women across the board. So the issue around masculinity and those ideals, That filters into settled white men also. So obviously the main proponents for equality tends to be women, in my experience.
Yeah.
So that's no different within my community.
Yeah. I want to come back to the you brought up the intersectionality, you know, the gay traveller. I wanted to go back to your grandmother for a minute though, because she sounds like an extraordinary woman. Now, She had 12 children, 60 grandchildren, is that right?
Yeah, she's quite a lot. She was a busy woman.
And would she have been then, and again, look, I don't mean to approach this like an anthropologist or anything, okay? And if anything in my tone is in any way off, you can call me out, right?
I won't, but here we go.
Yeah, but okay. And a woman like that could be a matriarchic kind of, head of a family in any society.
Yeah.
But more so in the travelling community, would there be that, you've talked about elders and stuff, would there be more of a sense of that matriarchal ruler?
Well, in my particular situation, my granny was most definitely the head of the family.
Yeah.
There wasn't a wedding or any kind of party or gathering where she wasn't there. And she would always come and sing songs, and they're always religious songs as well. And she was a great singer. Like, the last video I have with her is her singing religious songs and saying prayers for my followers, actually, on Facebook.
Really?
I'm serious. Yeah. And she was like, she was saying, and make sure you tell them. I said, tell them yourself, you're on camera. Well, look, keep away from the drugs because they're no good for anybody. And she gave it was a Christmas blessing, and I remember giving it out to all these strangers. And then I remember talking to her afterwards. She was saying, you know, you need to settle down and all this. And I was like, settle down? Sure, we don't do settling very well. You know, joking with her.
Yeah.
And she obviously went straight over her head because she was serious about it. And I said, Granny, I said, you know, like, I'm gay. I like fellas. And she was like, well, I don't care about any of that. She said, as long as you love yourself as much as you love the other person, that's all that matters. Now, this is a woman who was 88 years of age.
And really, deeply religious, obviously.
Really, really religious person. And I captured that moment with her, and I wanted to come back with a proper camera, proper sound equipment, you know, to record her, because I thought that was such a strong message to give to the community. Because, of course, the majority of my community would be deeply religious. And because they're deeply religious, would have maybe opposing views to LGBT equality, say, for example. So I wanted to capture that, and I wanted to capture that message from an actual elder. Unfortunately, she passed away. And then I remember I was having a conversation with my father, you know, he was saying to me, geez, aren't you a lucky boy? I said, how do you mean? I said, you're a lucky boy that I'm your father. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, you're lucky that you've got the one traveller father that doesn't care that you're gay. I said, what are you talking about? I said, she called me Nancy for years. Like, what did you cop onto yourself? He said, oh, yeah, but that was before I knew you were gay. And I said, actually, it's not gay. I said, you know, it's now LGBT. He said, LGBT? He said, don't tell me. He said, I know how to spell gay. And so it was one of those moments with my father. And he was calling me, like, I'm not particularly flamboyant or camp or anything like that. Well, at least I don't think I am. Not that there's an issue with that. But he used to liken me to Rory Cowan out of Mrs. Brown's Boys. After I publicly came out, I called my mother, you know, on a Sunday, like, hey, what's for dinner? And I could hear him in the background, is that Rory? Is he coming down for dinner? So, like, these are small steps that are being taken.
Yeah.
And right across the country, there are families the same way.
Person traditionally, like, you know, the way, okay, so again, in the broader community, settled community, country people, whatever you want to call us, okay, a lot of people would have led very closeted lives until, like, relatively recently, and, you know, homosexual acts were against the law and all that.
Yeah, that was in the 90s, by the
way. What would people have done in the travelling community? Was it like kind of suck it up, get married, have kids? Was it go away?
Yeah, no different, unfortunately. Yeah. And if you were to go back, like, before the 90s, sure, Irish society was all the same. Like, we've got to remember, this is only, what, 30 years ago? Less than 30 years ago, when it was a crime to be gay. And had the state not been challenged legally, it would still be, like, isn't that ludicrous to think that less than 30 years ago it was illegal to be gay? So at the time when Irish society was making this massive push towards bringing gay rights at the time to the fore and to challenge the state to bring equality for gay people, at the exact same time, Irish travellers were just setting up their first organisations to bring about rights for travellers. So inevitably what was going to happen was at the beginning, travel organisations were going to fight for those rights and eventually, you know, catch up with the LGBT rights.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it's heading in that direction. And, you know, my next comedy tour, I'm actually going to be doing a comedy tour next year as well. It's actually called Queen of the Travellers. So, yeah. So normally you'd hear about the King of the Travellers, this big fight. I'm not a fighting man at all. I'm a softish shite. I'm I'm no good at all. I'm really good with my mouth. I'm brilliant to start in fights. I'm too fat to run away from fights.
So I think crawl out is the trick. Yeah. Start it and then crawl out from the middle. Yeah.
But Queen of the Travellers, I'm hoping to tour with both my Minkery Manifesto and Queen of the Travellers next year.
Okay.
And
come here, is it tricky for you now doing comedy based in, because look, people do their stand-up comedy based in their kind of lived experience, call it that. Obviously, your life is growing up a traveller and all that kind of thing. Is it tricky for you even doing comedy around that? And I wonder as well if it settled people laughing.
Do you know what it is?
Am I tying myself in knots here? Do you see my point?
Have to create a hashtag to go viral. Like, you guys created that kind of stuff, right? So I find it wholly ironic that middle class settled people are getting offended on behalf of me, a traveller, for what I say sometimes about travellers.
Yes. So do they? They do, yeah.
Genuinely, I did a gig years ago in the International Bar, and I think it was Conor Hunt did a piece afterwards, and I remember this person came up and was Royce. Listen, you Royce. How dare you? Do you know what the travelling community has gone to? How dare you? That's exactly how he spoke. It was almost like a more butch version of Senator David Norris. How dare you? My neighbour is a traveller and they are the best people in the world. And I was like, yeah? Do you reckon your neighbour get into this bar, get past security?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not funny. I said, it's not funny. I said, but I'll tell you what's ironic. I said, you're talking to a traveller, telling a traveller that they shouldn't do jokes about travellers. And of course, as we all know, if you were to look into comedy, it's about subversive comedy. All the real change is because if you look at the black comedians in America, it was the exact same thing. They went, Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy, all they had to push those boundaries. But then they claim that space and they own that space. So it's not racist or discriminatory for me to do jokes about myself as a traveller.
Yeah.
I find it quite unusual that a settled person in any capacity can say to me, you shouldn't be doing that now.
Are they nervous about laughing though?
Of course. Listen, let me tell you the difference, right? On Facebook, my videos might get 100,000 views and everyone is loving it. Put it up on Twitter and no one likes it. It's almost as if to say, if I like this, some traveller's going to see me liking this and then I'll be outed as being a racist. And I think that is so damaging because you should support subversive comedy. You should support marginalised comedians, given the fact that I'm the only comedian from my community that still performs comedy.
So, have you performed in front of audiences of largely travellers?
Okay, that's another great misconception which has prevented me from getting a lot of venues, actually. I've been refused many venues because the notion was that 100 travellers are going to turn up and break up a venue. That's crazy. Out of all my shows, I think 6 travellers, out of all of them, though, have showed up. My audience is mainly settled people. Yeah. And I've had some trouble with some settled people actually getting drunk at the bar. But then again, that's alcohol. Yeah. That's in club gigs as well. But travellers would be usually mainly supportive of my comedy. So there's no in-house fighting, there's no arguments or feuds coming along, you know. For the benefit of the settled person listening to this interview, there is no fear of any kind of in-house fighting.
Okay. Can I go back to one thing that you talked about education? Because I know that this is something that's very important to you. And I know also that it's something that you don't want to talk about this too much or anything, but it's, I suppose, going back to a tricky question of, like, in school and kind of, does school as it's set up suit travellers? How does it work for them?
The heartstring part of the conversation, Brendan. That's so professional.
Don't be pointing out the joins, will you?
Look, I don't mind speaking a little bit about it. And do you want to know what the main reason why I don't like speaking about my negative experiences in school is? Because I also had positive experiences in school. But I also know that if you're to go back far enough, everyone in Ireland had negative experiences in school. If you go back to the Christian Brothers, actual beatings and things like that. For me and the travellers in my year, we were put into remedial English. I was taken out of German, French, Irish classes because I was told I had no aptitude for languages. Having left school, eu falo português, eu entendo português, eu estudando português por 1 ano, 7 meses. So I learn languages quite easy, actually. And it was this thing that travellers just don't have the aptitude. Of course we have. A child will always have the aptitude if they're encouraged enough. I wasn't. And in art class, all the travellers are made to sit in the same desk, right in front of the teacher's desk. And all the rest of the students were given clay and paint and all the nice art and craft stuff. We were given A3 pages and colouring pencils. And had I not brought that to the attention of my mother, who then went into the school, that would have continued on. So that is a reality. I don't like speaking about it because, you know, some of the teachers are great. Because remedial English class, I learned to be more creative with my writing. It was Miss Anne Silk who told me that I could be a writer, that I should enter into the list of world writers. I wouldn't have known any of this. So while it was a negative, the universe always finds a way to present you with a positive. You just have to work towards it. And at the moment, with the way the school curriculum is working, there's more being thought about traveller history within the education system. So changes are happening. There are positive things happening. We now have loads of travellers with PhDs, masters. I'm studying a master's. We're going to have more travellers in the media. So the more we start to get opportunities within different industries within Ireland, the better it is for Irish society in general, because it just shows that, you know, when you break down that barrier, do you know, if you've never really grown up around travellers and all of a sudden you meet a traveller and you have a positive experience, you take that with you. Obviously, you're going to take the negative experiences with you, but if you're told about a negative experience, you're more likely to keep that with you, even if you didn't experience that yourself, because humans are driven by fear. This fear and this need to protect ourselves, and that's where social othering happens, and that's why it's so difficult to fight it. Unless we're put into situations where we're in contact with people who have this fear, it'll never change, which is why the workplace environment needs to be diverse.
Come here.
You'd never think it was a comedian, with the way I go on, would you?
It's like I know that you are very funny as well. But we've taken this turn now. So why do we stick with it now? Okay. And every question I ask here, I'm conscious it could lead to me being finished off.
Somebody has a hashtag waiting on Twitter, right?
So I'm going to ask you a very naive kind of question now. Okay. So that's the difficulties of school and everything. Was it very, very hard growing up as a traveller? Are there lots of good things about the life you've had as well?
Of course there's lots of good things. Yeah. Of course there are lots of good things. Look, I grew up in Tuam, County Galway, okay? And it's like a melting pot of travellers, of settled people. I think it's got the highest population of travellers per capita for a town in Ireland. And we were no different. You know, you'd have the working class lads, you'd have the middle class lads. I don't think there were any posh lads actually in Tuam. But then because you have a mixture of all these cultures, that's what gave us the likes of the Saw Doctors and some of their great songs. So that kind of energy. And at the moment, we've got a brilliant musician called Daryl O'D. Check out Guerrilla Warfare, by the way, if anyone's listening. Amazing. I can't believe RTÉ hasn't played it yet. This is music from a town, a small little town in the west of Ireland, where travellers and settled people have been living together for years. And all of those things, like the word sham, you know, like obviously you're from Cork, aren't you? You have an awful habit for robbing traveller words, actually. Sham, Bjorn, Fiend. But also it's in Tuam and it's in Longford. And little things like that, when the language kind of goes across to another community, I actually think that's cultural sharing. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So yes, I will say, I had a fantastic time growing up in Tuam.
Okay, and part of that reason was because of, would you call it integration, or is that a bad word these days?
No, integration is great. Assimilation is bad.
Okay.
Boo, assimilation, because assimilation means I have to give up certain things about my culture or my identity in order to fit into your version of what society needs to be like. Whereas integration is, I'll accept your ways, you'll accept my ways, as long as it isn't going to hurt anyone. As in, if my ways is extreme homophobia, I mean, that's not going to be conducive to a healthy society.
Okay. Why beans?
So are you going to come to my show?
Why beans? Absolutely. Why beans? Where did that come from?
Much better than peas. Actually, I tell you, look, I'll let me just bang this straight out of the park now, right?
Yeah.
I was fat, round, red-faced and slightly ginger. I mean, if there was ever anyone that looked like a bean, it was me. I used to hang around with a guy as well who had a skin graft. They called him Rashers, and there was another guy we called Cocktail Sausages because one day, in a cold day, in a little river, we went swimming and lo and behold, nasty lads get nicknames. So that's, yeah, it was a full Irish breakfast going around the place. But beans, yeah, that's where beans comes from. And I reclaimed it. It was a horrible nickname for so long and then I reclaimed it.
Okay, listen, so good luck with the play. And so back on the road doing some comedy. Have you done a gig yet?
I haven't done a gig. And to be honest with you, the only reason, if it wasn't for the Arts Council and Willie White from the Dublin Theatre Festival, I wouldn't be doing the theatre. If I didn't get that time and space and support from the Arts Council and I didn't get that help and support with networking from Willie White, I would be doing it. So yeah, I'll be back on stage hopefully with both comedy and with theatre next year. Haven't done comedy in nearly 2 years, so I'm really excited and I hope to see you there.
And the journalism course, what job would you be hoping to get out of that?
Yours. Brendan, move aside. You know, are you for diversity or not, Brendan?
Okay, I see. My time is gone, is it, Martin?
Listen, I have a lovely story about you, the time we were in the Cutting Edge, actually. I was so nervous beforehand because it was a contentious week and there was topics in it. And I remember sitting at the desk and just before the cameras were going on, I was shuffling and shuffling with my jacket, my blazer. And without taking a beat, you stood up and you came over and you straightened up my jacket and went straight back to your notes. You didn't even bat an eyelid. And that stuck with me. So you're not that bad.
Listen, people are going to take that the wrong way entirely now.
Oh, you're not going to get into the golf course now, is it?
No, he was fixing the bloody traveller to make him acceptable for air.
He's not welcome here anymore.
They'll say it was some form of post-colonial fixing of your jacket. Come on, my good man. Sit up straight there and fix your jacket, for God's sake.
Bathed me with a can of Lynx as well. There you go.
Listen, you were talking about the elders earlier, and I know that there is somebody you would like to mention.
I would, absolutely. And thank you for giving me the opportunity. Just before I came on air, I heard that Michael McDonough has sadly passed away. And I just want to send out my condolences to Nell and the rest of the family, because while they've lost a husband and a father, our whole community in Irish society has lost a storyteller, somebody who has spent years telling stories about travellers and always in a very positive way. He still has a wagon, or may he rest in peace. He used to still have a wagon. It's still there in the family home. And we've lost a part of the past. As I said about my granny, this was a man who knew so much about travellers from all over the country. And he's going to be sadly missed, genuinely sadly missed. So my condolences to the family.
Okay. Martin Beansward, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Don't leave it so long now to the next time.
I won't. We'll talk again very soon, I think. And you know what? The next time we won't even need to signal to people that you're a traveller. You can just come in as yourself, okay?
Hi, Martin Beansward. I'm a traveller and I've got a blue tick on Twitter. Thank you very much. Boy.
Okay, Martin Beansward, thank you very much. Let's take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.